you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, November 4th, 2016. The first time we've talked since the Cubs have actually won the World Series. The other day we were rooting them on the fact that they had made it to Game 7. And what a nail-biter. Everyone's probably worn out. The Cubs fans, I guess, were partying all night long because of that rain delay. In fact, I finally went to sleep. I was so tired that night and thought, how long is this rain delay going to go on? And fell asleep, and then in the middle of the night woke up, took my cell phone, Siri, what was the Cubs score? And I'm like, they won? They actually won? So a lot of people celebrating. Janet Parshall yesterday did a phenomenal overview of the game, and she's must be a sports enthusiast, and played some kind of CBS that recounted the summary of the last plays and their hits and the score and it being tied up, and it was really well done. So I know there's a lot of happy Cubs fans and people celebrating. So if we could just be that way about our election that's coming up in a few days.
I was thinking about it watching the game and all the emotion that was happening. I thought, do we have this emotion ready for next week too?
Yeah.
I think we're going to feel the same kind of emotion, the same kind of, wait, what do you mean we're going into extra innings?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, if it was like that one election a few cycles back where, you know, the hanging chads and recounts and it could be anyways, we're praying up that this election will go through smoothly and, you know, we'll continue to pray for whoever God raises up to be in that position as president of our United States. And, you know, we do our civic duty and vote, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, it's been a crazy news cycle the last few weeks, and it only seems to be getting crazier. So who knows what's going to be released today or in this weekend and come Monday, Tuesday. If there's some other surprises, nobody will be surprised.
Yeah, it seems like every couple of days there's some kind of new information that trickles out, and I think that at this point everybody is just so overwhelmed with the news.
Yeah.
I know I am.
Hey, four quick announcements. I'd like to share with our Great News Radio listeners a huge answer to prayer. You know this young lady, Abby Barrett. She attends the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. And when I presented a few weeks ago about the new Great News Radio Center and how I saw God using it in the days ahead and what we're praying for to happen, I had just, you know, in a line or two mentioned that we hope at some point to have conversational English classes to reach our international students and friends and families that are right here in our neighborhood, and how to, you know, begin building that relationship, and then that can allow there to be witnessing and other sharing. And so I just kind of threw that out there, a real quick summary of some of the many things that we hope to accomplish through the Great News Radio Center. And afterwards, Abby came up and said, hey, I'm interested. In fact, I've been certified with my ESL, I think, English as a second language, and I volunteered here. And I said to her, hey, Abby, you might be a huge answer to prayer. I said, follow up, email me, and let's talk some more. Well, yesterday, Abby, along with Marianne Offenstein, our staff member, and Holly, we all met and talked about how God could maybe use conversational English classes at our center and talk through all the logistics. And we have our first date and time and how we're going to move forward. And yesterday I was working on forms and other things that we'll need to have in place. And it just seems like it's all going to come together, and Abby's going to be kind of the lead person that'll develop some of the curriculum. And she already said, let's work on a holiday theme so these internationals can know words that deal with shopping and Christmas and Thanksgiving and why we celebrate those two holidays in the United States, and all put together so like our 9 or 10 sessions will focus on different aspects aspects so they can learn to speak into the holidays and what people are talking about during these two specific holidays and others. And so she's just all pumped and ready to go. We're going to begin our first class on Monday, November 14th, and we're going to go from 10:30 to 11:30. So I share that with all of our listeners, Pastor Jason, because we would covet and appreciate your prayers as we see God using this in unique ways as we build relationships with these internationals. In fact, while we were in the meeting, this was yesterday from 10:30 till about 1, Holly was putting a little summary together to some of her friends, and literally she sent it off saying, we're going to start these things coming up in a week and a half. And I think at the time, during the meeting, four people already signed up. So, and then like a few hours later, we had two more. So we already know of six internationals that are interested, and we'll have probably two sessions going on at the same time for beginners and then more intermediate. So I would ask that you'd pray up how God will use the conversational English classes that'll begin Monday, November 14th. And we're going to do them on Monday and Thursday from 10:30 to 11:30. So that'll be a neat outreach to our internationals. So I guess I'm also saying, if you know an international or someone that wants to learn more about English and conversations, send them our way. You can call the station and we can give you all the information. But that'll be happening in a little under 2 weeks. So we're going to be busy putting everything together. So we'll see who God has show up that first Monday on the 14th at 10:30. So announcement number one. That's announcement number two. I mentioned this. I did a little teaser on Tuesday, but our Israel trip that filled up 232 days out, the 48 people that we wanted to have on our, like, 53-passenger bus, I wanted to have a few extra seats just in case somebody needed to rest or lay down. But we filled that up so fast that there was many people that were, like, shocked. They said, I've never seen it fill up that fast. And I said, nor had I. But I found out that there is one 60-passenger bus in Israel. There's only one of them. And we have it reserved. And so we're going to open up the trip again. I just adjusted some of the language on our website, and we had two people on a waiting list. So I've called both those gentlemen. They're very, very excited. In fact, last night I spoke to one of them, and he said he'll get his monies in. But that would leave about five more. I think we'll go or try for a group of about 55, again, leaving about five openings on our bus. But if you have a heart and may even feel a calling to join us, because this will be a pilgrimage. This is just not a tour where you sightsee and have lots of fun, though we will have lots of fun and see a lot of things. This is really going to be a pilgrimage that both Jason and I have prayed through. We've worked out an itinerary that we think will really enhance the biblical narrative and allow you to be and see and experience the sights that our Lord Jesus taught and healed and how he did his ministry work. And so we want you to be engaged in the Bible on location where these events occurred and really be blessed as a result of all the experience. So you'll come back and share that and maybe teach in Sunday school or use the experience to further kingdom purposes. So all to say that there's about five openings. And if you want to find out more, stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. Or maybe you know somebody that said, oh gosh, I wanted to be on the trip, but I guess it's filled. Let them know that there are openings and to stop by greatnewsradio.org. All right, announcement number three. I'll be a little quicker so we could get an update from you. Number three, Joey Kroll, next Thursday. This will be kind of our first formal event at the Great News Radio Center. Though we don't have the studio all up and running yet, we're getting closer to having all the pieces in place to have a couple soft openings or a grand opening in the days ahead. But Joey Kroll's coming in on Thursday, November 10th from 5:30 to 7:30. He'll be signing his new book, Common Misunderstandings About God, Jesus, and the Bible. And so we'll have some desserts, and it'll be a fun fellowship time. And you can see the progress that we're making at the Great News Radio Center there at Lincoln Square. And so put that on your calendar, Thursday, November 10th. And if you wouldn't mind, please stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. It'll take you less than 1 minute to sign the RSVP, just so we have an idea of how many desserts to have and to tell Joey how many books to lug over here, and they'll be available. I think they're like $10 or something. I'm not exactly sure, but he'll give you a good deal. And if you don't even have the $10 or $12, he said, hey, I'll give it to anyone who wants to read it. So come on out, meet Joey Kroll, enjoy a good read with his new book just recently released, and it's happening Thursday, November 10th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. And come on by and see the Great News Radio Center and pray with us as we see God using that location to further his kingdom causes in the days ahead. And then finally, number four, we're going to be almost at the halfway point, Jason, so you're going to get to talk from this point forward. And you were very instrumental and a key element in putting this together. And I know you said, but Mark, they haven't given us the final go-ahead, but I'm pretty certain it's going to happen today. But Jason and I have been working on the CD covers, revamping them for our two past CDs and the brand new one that's being released in a couple weeks called Holy, Holy, Holy. But we did the covers and the inserts and got all three CDs ready to be delivered by Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a great Christmas present that can be given out, and we hope they'll be done in the next 10 to 12 days. But our Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God, our first CD, we've revised it. It really looks great, and it's all set to be purchased for Christmas or by Christmas. And then Godly Men was our second CD, and our third and latest and new CD that'll be out is called Holy, Holy, Holy. So very excited to get that ready for gifts for the holidays and in the upcoming days. And you'll find out more and hear all about it in probably the next 2 weeks once we have it in hand. And I'm sure we'll have those over at the center that can be purchased and given away in the days ahead. So thank you, God, that was a big project that you and I have literally worked on for a few weeks.
Yeah, it was certainly a big project and a learning experience.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, lots going on, a lot to be praying for, a lot to be celebrating. The fact that anyone who's tuned in today, God has them alive for a reason. I like how you always say there's no, like, circumstances or chances. We live and exist in God's providence. So he has very specific, many times unknown things for us to do or accomplish. But as we are attentive to his leading, as we pray up opportunities, whether it's in line at the grocery store, pumping gas, walking by our neighbor's house, you know, interacting with a classmate or participating in a hobby with a group, God can turn all those seemingly circumstantial by chance meetings into divine appointments. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, I think it's true. And I think that this cycle that we're in with the election, you could even say, you know, as I kind of watched my Cub fan friends, you know, the last week and a half or so, as they kind of had the heights of, you know, I think we can do this, to the lows of what are we doing, to the nail biter that final game was. You know, we tend to view the world through our circumstances. We tend to view the world through what we are experiencing and what we're seeing and the emotions that come out of that. And I really think that when we view the world through our circumstances, we're going to be tempted to believe that somehow God has lost control, that somehow God is not in control of things. And I think that what we need to do is we need to remember to view the world through God's promises. And when we do that, we'll see what he intends, and then we'll also see what he is actively doing in the world to overcome. I mean, Jesus said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And so through God's promises, God is actively working in overcoming the world. Our circumstances are but, you know, James would say a mist and a vapor. It's momentary. And yet, you know, we need to apply ourselves not to our circumstances, but to what God has promised and what he does. You know, one of the verses that I've been reading lately that's just been really been gnawing at me is Romans 10:1. And Paul says in Romans 10:1, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. When I think about all my circumstances that could take hold of my life and steer me to the left and steer me to the right and could have me lose heart, could have me be tempted to believe that God is somehow not in control or that somehow things are falling apart, I need to remember the primary thing that God has called me to do. And Romans 10:1 tells me that. It says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they might be saved, that they may be saved. It reminds me of Matthew 5, beginning of roughly around verse 43, where it says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray. Pray for those who persecute you." You know, our job is, it's not that we'll pray that the people we like might be saved, that our heart's desire might be for the people whom we like or whom we sort of like. But Jesus would challenge us to say that our heart's desire and prayer to God would be for our enemies and those who persecute us, those who we don't like, those who do the worst possible things to us. And it reminded me of a quote by James Sidlow Baxter. He was a Puritan. And he said this. He said, "Men may spur our appeals. They may reject our message, oppose our arguments, despise us, but they're helpless against our prayers." And we need to remember the power that we have in prayer. I love how Paul says, "My heart's desire." For us, sometimes I think when we talk about the heart, we relegate it to kind of just emotion, you know, broken heart, or my heart leapt when I did that, or that made my heart warm. You know, we kind of relegate the things of the heart to emotions. But the Bible actually relegates and relates the heart more to intellect. I mean, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, "Out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and slander." And Proverbs 4:23 says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence." That's why, because of what Jesus said, because out of the heart comes things. And so Paul is saying, when he says, "This is my heart's desire," this is his earnest request that comes from the strength and sincerity of his desires. It comes from a place of his intellect and his heart. And what does he do? He prays to God. I love that Paul's desire translates to action. And I wonder if that could be what we could do. Instead of letting our circumstances govern our situations, we would allow our desires to move us to action, and our godly desires, not our desires for like things that are not holy that will lead us towards sin, but our desires for God would translate to action, that we wouldn't just care, that we would pray. I mean, the greatest thing that we can do, the greatest amount of compassion and love we can show is by praying. And Paul doesn't just pray. Paul prays here very specifically. He prays for their salvation. And Paul doesn't rejoice that these people have messed up. He doesn't you know, I've seen far too many memes where we're rejoicing because a certain political candidate or a certain person has messed up or they've been caught doing something. Now, I love when God shines light onto darkness and evil is shown for what it is. But I also want to be careful that I don't rejoice in somebody stumbling. Because instead, what we should be doing is we should be saying to that person, not kind of taking delight in the fact that they've stumbled, but instead saying, "You know what, brother and sister, you are in grave spiritual and eternal danger." And then from there, our prayer should be that they would be rescued from that danger. And the only person who can rescue somebody from spiritual and eternal grave danger is God. And so we want to lay these people before God. I've been challenged as I've read 1 Peter to just say, "You know what? I may not like certain candidates, but I'm going to pray for them." And I'm going to tell you what, that's hard. Like, that's hard prayer time when you sit down and you pray for somebody who, number one, you don't really like that much, and number two, you don't trust, and number three, you don't think is a really a moral, upright, and good person. We have far greater prayer times, don't we, Mark, for people that we like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's easy to pray for those friends on that cruise ship, you know, while everything's going great.
It is, but let me tell you what. These people are in grave spiritual and eternal danger. So Paul prays, and it says prays for them. Well, who? The brothers. At the beginning of the verse, he says, "Brothers, my desire." I mean, this is a term of affection. Paul was saying, "You know what? I mean, I like you, but I love you." And that's a strange thing for us, isn't it? To say, I don't really like you, but I love you. Because the love of God wasn't about liking us. The love of God transcended simply the things that we like. The love of God says, "You weren't worth saving, but I'm going to anyways. I'm going to give you a gift that you do not deserve." And we need to do that. This is challenging stuff, to be able to reach out to people like that in those situations and say, "You know what? I'm going to love you even though I don't like you." Those of us who are married understand this, right? Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes with our spouses, we're like, "No, I don't really like you right now, but I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving because I love you." And so Paul may not like these people that he's praying for. By the way, he's praying for the Jews, very hard-hearted. He might not like who he's praying for in the moment, but he loves them enough to lay them before the Lord because he knows that the only person who can save them from spiritual, eternal, grave danger is the Lord. And he prays that they would be saved because only God can provide salvation power. Yeah. And so I guess my challenge to people today is, will you pray for those people that you don't like? Will you pray for those people you don't agree with? Will you pray for those people who, when you think of them, the hair in the back of your neck stands up and you just say, gosh, I just wish they would, something would happen to them. And maybe what we need to do is we need to pray for them, and the something that's going to happen to them is that they're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they do, he is going to do what he has done to all of us, which is to reorder our lives towards righteousness. And that is possible. I take great care when I think about the Apostle Paul prior to Acts chapter 9, because prior to Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was a terrorist. He was a terrorist in every way that we would define terrorism today. And he was the worst of the worst. I believe that after Paul got saved, he went to prayer meetings and people didn't close their eyes because they were scared to death of this man. And yet God used him powerfully in such a way that many of us don't even think about that in relationship to the Apostle Paul now. We lift him up and thank God for his service and his sacrifice.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great big narratives of Paul's life, is the fact that God can save the most unlikely of people. And so the person who you think is the most unlikely of people today, the most heinous of person, the most wicked of person, the most morally repugnant person that you know, is probably the person God can save and is willing to save and will save. And so now my question is, will you pray for them? Will you pray that they might be saved? I don't know how God's going to do it, and I don't know when he's going to do it, but I know that he can do it. Why? Because he saved a wretch like me.
And I'm thinking after Tuesday, I mean, we'll know possibly who the next president is, and there'll be at least very close to half the country that won't be happy or pleased with the outcome. And that would be a time that we really need to pray and pray for unity and pray for peace and pray to move beyond. So the Christians really need to be at the forefront of praying whoever God has in place, and then to bring that healing balm of peace and care and love and concern and compassion, even for those they don't agree or didn't get elected into the office that they wanted to have.
Yeah, listen, we are called to be the people of hope. We don't, as Christians, get the option of being hopeless because we know where our hope is. We know that hope does not disappoint, that God has poured out his love in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So we don't get to be people who are hopeless. So no matter how things turn out on November 8th, we're still the people of great hope.
Now, may that be true. May that be something that we pray up these next few days and live for and live about and share that good news message about the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, our Savior. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day, night, and weekend.